know the lyrics to the extended version of every 90s TV theme song?
Can you recite the entire script to Wayne's World on command, verbatim?
Might you wax nostalgic about injuries sustained during backyard wrestling matches?
Have you pontificated at length over what beer goes best with Mario Kart?
Do you philosophically dwell for inappropriate lengths of time on phenomena like snowsuits,
minor five chords,
Rocky IV,
baseball stats,
wall-mounted pencil sharpeners,
Cinnamon Toast Crunch,
Murray Wilson,
seasons 2 through 8 of The Simpsons,
Bond villains,
then friends, lovers, palindromes, have we got the show for you?
It's Calling BS with Brandon and Scott.
Your esoteric clerics for the fleet of mouth and mind.
Brutally honest, meticulously obsessive, and painstakingly pragmatic.
Check us out at BS I Love You.
Dueling Genre.
Welcome to the Jane Silent Bob Minute, where we are covering Mallrats 1 minute at a time. Today we are covering minute 119, which is quite possibly the greatest walking minute of all time. I'm Jeff Ferry.
And I'm Chris Derkutch.
And it's credits time, buddy.
Yeah. This is an exciting minute here.
Well, we're not over black, though, to be fair. Get a full minute of them walking with the orangutan in offense into the distance.
We have much less than the last minute and 10 times more than the next couple, so...
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
That's credits.
It's the credits. I think I'm trying to remember what we did with the credits in the other movies. I think Clerks, we covered it till the end of the week, and then it was like an extra 45 seconds, so we just kind of looped it in.
Yeah.
And the Burbs, I feel like we did it in 1 minute, and then we were like, yeah, we're done.
I'm pretty sure we did.
We're gonna try to go full pretty much full Star Wars minute style and do the whole thing this time.
Yeah, because we had to suffer through 122 minutes, so do you.
So minute 119 starts with production supervisor Beth DePatty and ends with Looper Deborah White.
Looper?
Not to be confused with Looper with starring Bruce Willis. That's a totally different thing.
There's a lot of Loopers. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Spoiler alert, that's the end of the minute, you jerk. What's your problem? Yeah, well, I mean... I would love to say that we could go through the credits and tell people about this stuff, but honestly, we don't know what any of these people do.
No. I bet you I could tell. Camera operator, I think he operates the camera.
Yeah. It's good work by you.
Yeah, I looked that up.
But like production supervisor, I know they're in charge of like everything. Like yeah. Making sure that there's cameras and there's equipment and there's all the stuff you need, all your actual physical things, as opposed to like, you know. Everybody is, because before you're ever seeing this stuff, you're like, I guess the director does everything. And no. The director shoots the movie, frames it, makes sure all that stuff's going, and they're relying on other people to make sure all the trains are actually running on time.
Right. I thought the director just said, stand over there, say this, say that.
That's a lot of it.
Yeah.
We're working with, like, they're way more on the, not on, like, the side of, like, the actors and, like, that kind of stuff. The other stuff, they just, okay, well, here's how I want it to be shot. I want a three-quarter shot in here. I want the lights to look like this. All right, go.
Yeah.
And then every department has to do their stuff to make it actually happen.
Takes a lot of people.
We got a script supervisor of Carol Banker. The thing I usually remember with script supervisor is that could be a tough job. You also could be the one reading the lines if the other person's not there.
Oh, okay. Bouncing the lines back and forth.
So, like, you know, it's me and Michael Rooker in a scene together, and he does his coverage, and he's like, peace, I'm out. He leaves.
Right.
Now I got to do my coverage without him. The script supervisor might be the one reading my stuff for me. A good actor will stay there and still feed the lines, even if they're not there.
Until they get too big, and then they big time you and leave.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
But not always. But like, because we talked about, as I think one of our stomping boys before was Tom Cruise, we talked about, like, he never does stuff like that.
Right.
If he's supposed to be the giving you the lines, he gives you the lines.
Oh, I mean, that's you know, stand-up guy, I guess, but...
Yeah, same thing, like, Sam's supposed to be on the phone with you. Like, you don't really need to be there, but a lot of times they'll have the actor it's supposed to be stand off the camera and do the lines.
Right, just so you know who you're talking to and what's... Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, in your mind, it's sounding the same.
Yeah.
As we get down, storyboards by Scott Mosier.
Yeah, I saw that. He's an artist, right?
Yes, like, he can draw.
Well, I heard he drew the blueprints for this movie, too.
Yes, the blueprints are definitely him, like, the goofy... Jane Silent Bob blueprints.
Right. I mean, that doesn't make him an artist, but they're pretty funny.
But like the main title artists, there's some names in there you'll know. Michael Allred's in there as a professional artist. Who else did I see? Joe Quesada.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I felt like there was one other name I knew in there. I don't remember what it is now. I'm sure maybe someone who's more familiar with comics would even catch a couple more people.
Right.
But those are just the ones I knew.
Now, who drew the beginning, the comic book covers?
I think it was Michael Allred.
Okay.
Go back to like minute three. I think I say who it is.
I'm pretty sure you did, but it's been a long time.
I want to say each one was drawn by a different person, which is probably why there's so many names on here.
Oh, maybe.
Or they it was like a couple people drew them. I think when Alex Robinson was on, we talked about it a little bit. Either when he was on or like the next minute after that, we did it some more.
Yeah.
I like, would you like the position of lead man? I'm the lead man around here.
I'm the lead man.
Yeah. Or you want to be on the swing gang.
Uh-oh, what's going on there? And they're brothers, too. They're both Grahams. David and I mean, Sean Graham are the swing gang.
Do they swing, or is it, do they say they play swing music? I was going to do some impressions of swing music, but I figured I really didn't know what it sounded like.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that is.
I was about to do some, and I'm like, no, that's jazz. And no, that's not it either. I'm going to really embarrass myself if I can't do swing. I don't have it.
Yeah,
and then the one... Yeah, the ones people always talk about, the gaffers, the best boys, and all
that
stuff.
What's a buyer? On-set dresser and buyer. Is that
they buy stuff.
They go out and get the clothes and shit?
Probably. Or they buy anything you need that's not like property of the studio. Like, hey, we need this. It's not in storage at Universal.
You, get me a bag of M&Ms.
Then we get all the gaffers, the grips, all the guys who are doing, guys and girls who are doing the real work.
Yeah, all the best boys.
Moving stuff and carrying crap. Like, look it is...
I found an electrician who I know, Ed Hapsack.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he's one of the electricians.
How about that? I knew a key grip, Christopher Millar. Isn't he an artist? Is that not the same guy?
I don't know.
I feel like that's not the same guy. And then you're starting to get down to your post-production, your editors and stuff. Yeah, this is one of those times when you have editors, and the editor's not named Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
The only time that he allowed somebody else to edit his movie. Right. Now he edits them as he's filming them.
He went back on Chasing Amy to edit, right? He edited Clerks and he edited Chase. Yeah, he said he edited some right on set there.
Yeah, because this was his studio movie, so they're like, you can't edit it.
Yeah, you're not.
Like, we already let you write it, direct it, piss off.
Yeah, you did too much already.
It's like, listen, little child director, we're going to show you how movies are made.
You don't know what you're doing.
One of the loopers is Phil Lamar. I said that. I feel like the dead silence coming from your side makes me feel like you don't know who the hell Phil Lamar is.
I don't know who Phil Lamar is.
All right. Well, I do, but I'm going to look him up and start throwing credits at you.
I know Lamar. I know Lamar. Lamar was from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, my God.
Little old me Lamar. You don't remember from the rap song?
Please, do some Lamar lines for me.
No, I'm good.
So Phil Lamar, you 100% know who Phil Lamar is, by the way. Most famous for being a voiceover actor, but he is in a ton of stuff. But he is most known for Pulp Fiction, Futurama, Samurai Jack, and Mad TV.
Holy crap.
All right. Do you have any idea who he is?
Nope.
Have you ever watched Futurama?
Yes.
He's Hermes.
That's the...
Like the Jamaican guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He's a voice actor mostly. But in Pulp Fiction, he's Marvin. He's the one that gets shot in the face.
Oh. That's him?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea who that was.
So on his filmography, as an actor, he has... Just guess how many credits he has. Now, I will give you this. He is a voice actor. So all his voice stuff's in there.
So yeah, he's got 500 at least.
433 credits.
Oh, look at that.
On Family Guy, he's Ollie Williams. He's the weatherman.
The weatherman, yeah.
It's cold outside. Oh my God, this guy has so many credits. It's ridiculous.
Now, what is he in this? A looper?
He's a looper, so he just did he probably threw out some voices.
Oh, all right.
He probably was just like, go get him. You know, he's just like one of those people in the background that says something. He's in Robot Chicken. He's in all the Star Wars crap all over the place. He was Bail Organa, Stormtrooper, Gold 3.
Well, there's a show I haven't heard of in a while, Robot Chicken. That was good when it first came out. I like that show.
I think it's still running.
Is it?
He was on BoJack Horseman. Yeah, he is. I'm telling you right now, when I said Phil Lamar, you're the only person who didn't know who it was.
So I'm getting yelled at right now by everybody else.
Yes, I said Phil Lamar, you dead silence, and you were like, what? What? All right, I'm trying to.
Well, if you watch it in the background with them walking here. This is probably where Silent Bob shit his pants when this monkey decided it wants to climb up on him. Did you say it? Like, he picks it up.
Oh, yeah?
And carries it like a baby.
I guess it was just like, this ain't working anymore.
Well, it looked, yeah, maybe he picked it up because they were dragging it down the street. But I gotta imagine Kevin
you seem
Smith
like
having a heart attack.
Now, you're pretty far down the street here at this point.
Yeah.
Like, What happens if something goes wrong? You got to be pretty far from the trainer at this point.
Right, the animal handler. Yeah, and I didn't see him in the credits yet either, the animal handler.
Shouldn't he be pretty high since this thing did not rip your face off?
Yeah. Yeah, he picks it up and starts walking out. He does it. He mans up. He grabs that thing by its arms. It's got to be heavy, too. It can't be light. It's half the size of a man, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. We think like 40 pounds?
I say more than that. I say you like think? 60, 70. You don't think? It's big.
Maybe.
It's not a monkey either. It's an orangutan, just so you know.
All right. Now, as we're getting down to the end here, you know, you want to have something fun happen during this minute, and nothing fun happens. It's just walking. So I did Google the greatest walking moments in the history of cinema.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, this is not the top 10 list I was looking for. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
But we're going to go over it anyway, because what the hell? I thought it would just be like, it's this movie, and this movie, and this movie, but it's not. One just says, Bill Murray is the greatest cinematic walker in the planet, and then it's just him punching Ned Ryerson out in Groundhog Day.
Oh, what does that have to do with him walking?
I have no idea. They said he's just great at sauntering. That's what it says.
I mean, I'll give him that. I can agree with that, probably. Yeah.
Number two, Mel Brooks teaches us all how to walk this way, which is it has two clips, because he does it in Young Frankenstein and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh.
Where he says, walk this way, and the other guy walks just like him. The first time they walk like Igor, the second time they walk like the Sheriff of Rottingham.
Whoa, that's Igor, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's not Igor.
I wouldn't want the Young Frankenstein guys to come after me about that. I don't make that kind of mistake. Number three, Popeye walks New York City. Not Popeye who you're thinking of right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Popeye's chicken?
No, Popeye Doyle from The French Connection.
Oh.
Number four, the incredibly fast walking of Jason Voorhees. Which is more to do with, no matter how fast you run, he'll be standing in front of you.
He's walking behind you. Yeah, you turn around, he's still there.
The fly guy walking of, I'm going to get you, sucker. It says, never has a cool walk gone wrong, so wrong's fast. This is the weirdest thing I've ever looked at before.
I'm sure it's not, but...
This list is crazy. Jeff Goldblum walking at the end credits of Buckaroo Banzai and Life Aquatic. I would just say Jeff Goldblum and ever and right. Everything.
He's very... I don't know how to explain it. Like, lanky. So he's weird when he walks anyway.
Oh, yeah. So in number seven is the walk-off exits of The Searchers and The Third Man. The Searchers is almost like this. John Wayne just, he's like in a door frame, and he just walks off like...
He just walks away.
Not quite into the sunset, but just like out into the Dust Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And they just walk and walk and walk. And The Third Man's the same way. He just walks forever. It's kind of like this. We're just like, I can't believe this is still happening.
Why is this still going on?
The walking and talking of the Before trilogy, which I have not seen and will not watch. I'm not watching three movies about Ethan Hawke falling in love.
No,
I'm okay. Hard pass. Now, please go in the quicker stop and tell me how it's the greatest movie. Yet. Shut up. I don't care. I never want to watch it. Number nine is the Catwomen of the Batman world. And then it puts a bunch of them. I'm not all that impressed with what's her face from the last one. Her walking. But Michelle Pfeiffer all day long with her weird ass walking.
Yeah. She did some crazy shit in that movie.
Well, I mean, she's poured into this latex outfit.
Right.
And she just 100% owns it, especially knowing how awful and disgusting it must have been in that thing. That's one of those things that like, oh man, I bet that's like, because it's every 13-year-old's dream of just like, oh my God, look at that thing. It's amazing.
Right.
The reality of that would be like, I'm sweating. Get me out of this thing.
The reality of it is, even if you did think it was like sexy and wanted your significant other to wear it, by the time you got him out of it, it would be soaked. She'd be soaked with sweat. It would be like, ew, now go get a shower.
Yeah, go get a shower. And you smell like pleather.
Oh, God, it's disgusting. Look, there's a puddle on the floor.
Not a good kind. Next is the opening credit walk of Shaft, which I will give it that.
Yeah.
Shaft. Although, I mean, it's... It's 35% walk and 65% the song.
Right.
Damn right. The Wild Bunch and Walking into Certain Deaths with Style.
I don't know that.
You never saw The Wild Bunch?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. Watch The Wild Bunch, for God's sake.
I think I already have homework for this movie, but I can't remember what it was.
The Wild Bunch is like, they're like older, I guess they were like outlaws or whatever. It's been a while since I've seen it either, but it was known for, you've seen like old westerns, right, from like spaghetti westerns and all that stuff. So you're familiar with that level of violence that they had.
Yeah.
Guy gets shot, guy falls down, maybe a little bit of blood. And then there's the Wild Bunch, which I want to say is about 71. and they just blow motherfuckers away in that movie.
Nice.
Just like violence where now it would mean nothing to you, but like back then people were like, holy shit, there's like a 10-minute shootout at the end.
Great.
But it's like the end of, it's like the cowboy era is almost over. Like it's getting into almost modern times. So it's like the, supposed to be like the last big like shootout.
Oh, so they're not even like, they're probably going to all go to jail.
Yeah.
At the end. Yeah.
And then it also has Reservoir Dogs, the opening scene.
That's cool. When yeah. they're all walking out. Yeah.
The introductory walking of Captain Jack Sparrow. Doesn't he just walk into the ocean?
I'm not even positive.
His boat sinks right at the beginning.
Oh, he walks out of the ocean. Yeah. Does he walk out of the ocean?
And then, of course, it could not be there. Travolta getting his swag on in Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. I think that might be the most famous walking in movies. Goodfellas and the amazing Steadicam scene when they go into the club.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know that one too. I was still stuck on Saturday Night Fever. I was trying to think of what song it was.
What do you mean? Staying Alive, you asshole.
I was trying to think of the line. I was going to sing it, but forget it now. Now you're all lost out because of Jeff. Forget it.
Oh, yeah.
He even mentions walking in the song too, by the way.
Yeah, the aware walking of Lloyd Dobler, if you're saying say anything fan.
Ugh, no.
Oh, here's one that I'm gonna shit all over. Here we go. The wistful dreamlike walking in the New World. Have you ever seen the New World?
I never have seen the New World.
It's a movie by Terrence Malick. Do you even know who Terrence Malick is?
No, I do not.
All right, he's one of those filmmakers everybody tells you is the greatest thing ever. It's a wonder. He's so awesome. He's made so many great movies. This movie is a piece of shit. I hated every minute of it. It's just people fucking wandering around in the woods with a bunch of shitty voiceover and glaring at each other. It sucks.
I just love when you hate something like this because people are going to be in the quicker stop saying, that's my favorite movie.
Oh, no. I'm going to get shit on because people are going to come in and be like, tell me how Terrence Malick's a genius. And he's
right.
The man has made good films. This is not one of them. This film is garbage. It's like fucking 3 hours long. At least, I mean, it felt like it was 10 hours long. I saw this in the theater and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I got to look him up. I got to see if there's – I'm going to give like 50-1 odds you've never seen a Terrence Malick movie.
Nice. Yeah, well, he's independent, right? He's a
He's an auteur. Oh, right. So, you know, he's done, and he used to not make a lot of movies, and I think he's made more lately. But I'm going to say 50-1 you haven't seen one. 3-1 when I name them, you may not even have heard of some of them. All right, so here's the movies that he – hold on, I got to get him as a director. He has 15 directing credits.
Okay.
That's starting in 1969. That was a short. 1973, Badlands.
Nope.
1978, Days of Heaven.
Nope.
So he made those two movies, and there's a 20-year gap. Then he makes The Thin Red Line.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
All right. That's 1998. 2005, so there's 7 years. So everybody thinks he's so goddamn great because he takes forever in between movies. It's like, oh, he must be a genius. No, he's fucking lazy.
He's tired.
So he makes Thin Red Line. New World, 2005. Total piece of shit.
Nope.
2011, Tree of Life.
Nope.
It's fucking garbage.
You know what? I may have heard of that one because I thought it was like a Disney movie.
At this point, I tapped out. I didn't see any of the rest of these. To the Wonder, 2012. No. Night of Cups, 2015. And then documentary, a short. Song to Song, it's independent. I don't know what the hell that is. And then he's got one in post-production. So please, come at me. Tell me why this guy's such a genius.
I couldn't tell you because I've never
seen it. The Thin Red Line is the movie that came out the same year as Saving Private Ryan that was not as good as it. But everyone kept telling me that it was. And they were wrong. It wasn't. Just because you have 50 fucking characters in it doesn't make it better.
Yeah. You mean it doesn't make people better when they just put a ton of actors in?
Just because you wait 20 years to make your next movie doesn't make you a genius. My rule of a genius, you have to at least have, what do you got to say, like two amazing movies? Not anybody, but like you can get lucky once and have one amazing movie and be like, all right, well, you had one amazing movie. If you have more than that, okay, you're a genius. You can then have shitty movies after that. Like that'd be like Stanley Kubrick. He's got a ton of great movies. He got a couple crappy ones in there too, though.
But you get a pass. You get a pass if you have a couple really good ones.
You get a pass. Listen, you make The Shining and Full Metal Jacket and the hell did he make before that? The war movie that I'm not Barry Lyndon.
Do you even really need to mention anything else?
I know. I could stop right there.
Yeah, really.
And those people would consider those his lesser movies.
Wow.
2001.
Right. Space Odyssey.
So, like, if you then make the shitty Tom Cruise movie, what the hell was it? The one with Nicole Kidman.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. So, if you then make Eyes Wide Shut, which is not terrible, it's just like, eh.
I think people watch that for nudity. That's why they watch that movie.
Yeah, well, guess what? I mean, there's not that much. There's some random nudity, but right. It's not like...
But no, the commercials for that movie look like it was going to be full of nudity, and then you watch it and it's not.
Yeah, it's got less nudity than like the first season of Game of Thrones.
Right, right.
So please, if you're a huge Terrence Malick fan, go in there and tell me how wonderful and great he is. But I'm telling you right now, don't come at me with The New World because it sucks. And the Thin Red Line, overrated. So you better have Badlands or Days of Heaven in your quiver because the rest of these are terrible. And don't tell me I just didn't understand the Tree of Life. No, I understood that it sucked.
The views of Jeff Ferry are not the views of this podcast.
Obviously, they're not your views. You don't know them.
I never even watched the movie. I'm telling you, I think I heard of the Tree of Life because I remember the Tree of Life from Disney World, and I thought it was about that. So I was going to watch it, but I never did.
All right, so here's some honorable mentions they have. Nosferatu from the movie Nosferatu.
Oh, that creepy walk he does.
Yeah. Scarface. I guess that's Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Yeah, I can see him walking around pretty...
Leatherface, walking with the chainsaw.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Robert
E. Black would like that one. No, that wasn't... He didn't do that. Why am I thinking that's Halloween? That wasn't Halloween. Damn.
Bud the Zombie from Day of the Dead. And of course, because there's always got to be one perverted one on there, Phoebe Cates.
Oh, God.
From Fast Times.
Just the way she walks in general, I thought you meant.
No.
From Fast Times.
They specifically have the scene from Fast Times on there.
Oh, okay.
Which, if you're of a certain age bracket, it's definitely a memorable moment.
Right.
Those were the days of VHS. I wonder how many VHS tapes had that particular section break. Just
worn out.
Hey, why does this one section of the tape get all weird? I don't know. Like, I was almost too young for that. Like, I didn't see that till later because it would have been, that's like 84, I think.
I love that that's what you looked up because I looked up 10 cuddly apes who committed vicious crimes. But it's one of them ones where you got to click the next, and I always just give up on that, you know.
Well, that's why I picked this one because I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Once I start having to click next, fuck you. I'm getting rid of it now.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah. I'm too lazy for that. But apparently 10 cuddly apes committed vicious crimes. Look it up for yourself.
Well, I'm sure it's true. Yeah, they are. The apes.
What did I want to say? Oh, that's right. The song changes. And it changes to Mallrats by Wax, which I've never heard of before. But I looked at the lyrics and they're weird.
Are they just like about the movie?
I mean, no. They're not. The beginning is the first verse. In the company of morons, I swear they're unstoppable. I can't push. They're pushing back. Watching the shoppers race this track. And they got places to go so fast. Like, I don't know what he's even talking about. Fools connect and then they pass. Never need to get up. Just sit back, watch, and laugh and breathe. That last line didn't even rhyme. So I don't know. Oh. It's stupid.
I'm sorry, your song is dumb.
Yeah, I don't like your lyrics.
Oh, I just texted them to come on. They said no. Now,
well, they were going to, and then they heard this part.
They were going to. Just like Jeremy London, they were going to.
We almost had. We had him on the line at least for a second.
Did we though?
No, not really.
Just think of how less fun this thing would have been if we would have had him on there. Then I couldn't have dumped on him the whole year.
What if he would have said, I'll do all 122 episodes?
Yeah, he could have co-hosted with you.
I think we would have been fighting with him by the end of it.
Oh, he would have never made it.
No.
This is not a Rocketeer minute situation.
What do you mean my scene sucks in this part?
Can you imagine our guests coming on and being like, no, you are not good.
Hey, you want to come on? We got Jeremy London. They'll be like, no, you know what? Just no, forget it.
I'm going to pass. All right. Why don't you do yourself a favor and wrap this minute up?
We're wrapping up already? It's only been 24 minutes.
I mean, it's only been 24 minutes.
We are the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We're on Dueling Genre with a whole host of other Dueling Genre podcasts like Immunities, Geek by Night, Rocky Minute. I always say Rocky Minute because they've been on here so many times. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Minute. We just had Adam on the other day. What else, Jeff? What do you think? I can't think of what other ones are on there. Back to the Future Minute. Cornetto Minute. I like how you let me just flounder.
No, please. Please, try to find...
I don't want to forget anybody, but if you could chime in.
Toy Story Minute. Lord of the Rings Minute.
Disney... what do they call it?
Disney Animation Minute Essentials.
Come on, what else?
I don't know. I hope we got them all. And then there's the other podcast. Did you do the other ones that aren't the minute ones?
I said Immunities and Geek by Night.
Immunities, Doctor's Companion.
And Calling BS with Brandon and Scott.
Having a Friend for Dinner.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I got to get into that one because I like Hannibal.
Yeah, I mean, I got to get into it. But it's good. It's a good time of the year for me because a bunch of the podcasts are wrapping up that I'm listening to.
I know. That's what I was just thinking too. Maybe I will pick that one back up. But that's about it. We're on Doi Genre. Come check it out. There's some movies on there too. Watch them. You got anything else, Jeff?
The New World sucks.
I was trying to talk about Staying Alive a little more because I wanted to put it on at the end for a song.
Put it on anyway.
I'll put it on now anyway. Let me stop this recording. You can tell by the way I use my...